So let's begin World of Done, Acts, Wisdom of God, number 7. And we kind of made the statement at the beginning of last class that I kind of feel like I jumped the gun that class should maybe go behind at least this one, if not the next two. So we'll see this written into it, and we'll examine that. My subtitle here is part 3, Further Studies on Timeline Reality. Y'all remember that from last time, right? Yes. Timeline reality. I think the Lord gave me that phrase because it really just says it, that there is timeline reality and then there's in Son reality. Amen? Okay, I need an amen on that.
Amen.
Because that's what we're doing in this class. All right. So as usual, I read this statement. So we want to ascertain what the beginning was. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so we notice that in the beginning, God, there's no mention yet of the Son. No mention of the Son yet. So it's the first beginning, if you will. Now, we, of course, clarified that last week. God was already there before anything was created. We know that. There was not only no earth created, but there was no heaven created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was no heaven or heavens, whatever word terminology you want to use. So there was just the fact that God was there. He was there before timeline reality. He was there before timeline reality. And once he created, then he literally created timeline reality.
Right.
Come on. It's obvious. Everything then started being on a timeline. We started marking, well, Noah, and then this, and then that person, and then this and that and that. Okay. So, but he was before timeline reality. But yes, he created timeline reality. And then last week we went over the fact that Jesus was Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the ending. And that area that we discussed last week was so, so important, because it will, if you follow that reality, it'll break you from timeline reality, and it will set you in a relationship with God that is eternal and eternal with him who was and is to come. So let's consider the New Testament version of creation. In doing so, we should be able to identify things that fit on a timeline. Okay, so that's it. That's what I'm talking now. What I'm going to share is some things that are either timeline reality, or their in-Son reality. This is Colossians, book of Colossians. Turn with me there. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to start with, I'll read 13 through 17. So I'm going to read this first, and then I want you to examine Colossians in parts. Okay. verse 13, just reading the whole thing now. Who, and it's referring to the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, which here's my question. I think I'm going to go ahead and break these up. I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask the same question after every verse. And I want you to think about it. Will you do that? Okay, so here it is. Who the Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Was the devil eternal or a timeline creature? Okay. And we'll have some more scriptures within these that will say that you're correct. Okay. The rest of that sentence, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Eternal or timeline?
Eternal.
Yes. Yes. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Eternal or timeline? That was really good. That was really, really good. Because you said timeline, right? Okay, you said timeline, and you said eternal, and you said, And I think that was really, that's the answer. All of it together. But we can examine it, okay? So, in whom we have redemption, the in whom is eternal. But when it comes to redemption, even though that was before, you know, it is redemption through his blood, which was spilled at a certain time on a
timeline.
Next part of that, so I'll read the last one and then go into that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Eternal or timeline?
Eternal.
Okay. Now reading verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Okay. Eternal or timeline? Well, the creating part is timeline, but the reality is eternal. See, and this is good, right? Isn't this good to look at stuff and examine it and start seeing and seeing that in some cases, in fact, many cases, it's going to be eternal who's working in the timeline or something like that. And it's important that we, and one reason why I wanted to do this is, I needed to know if you could start seeing these things. Because, yes?
I just have a question about that.
Okay.
I was thinking about when you shared out of Genesis chapter 1 where he created, and then in chapter 2 he formed it and manifested it in the earth.
Yes.
So in Genesis 1, that creation would have been eternal. And then the forming was the manifestation of what was created in the Son. Is that right?
Well, if anything's created, it starts. And if it starts, it's on a timeline. Does that make sense? Okay.
I was thinking of the wisdom before time. It was created in the Son. I thought that was eternal. And so I was relating this verse to that eternal reality.
Right.
In the Son.
You didn't actually say that, though. You didn't say created in the Son. You just said created. So, yes, that what was in his heart is eternal, but it wasn't always in his heart. So that's a hard one, because it's all wrapped in eternal and eternity, but it started. Maybe the Lord will keep showing us stuff. Amen? Because, I mean, I'm in this too. All right. Sarah, did you have something? Absolutely. Absolutely. Timeline. Okay. So I wrote, in that sentence, and we already talked about it, but I'm going to say it again. Thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, which are usually related to the enemy, right? You know, over in Ephesians 5 and other places, it talks about that. So principalities and powers are not eternal. Okay. Amen. Thank you for being on God's side. Number 17, or verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What do you think, eternal or timeline? Yes, both. Both. He is before all things and always was. Was, is, and is to come. Just eternal as he can be. But by him all things consist. So, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that it's not by him all eternal things, because the only real truthful eternal thing is God himself. All right. So, and again, you know, I love kicking this stuff around. I had fun putting this together, you know, and so we're not done, you know, doing this and looking at these kind of things. So if you think I'm wrong on any one of them, come back later and let's talk about it, okay? So I wrote, these verses are talking about all things created, right? He is before all things, and by him all things consist, held together. These verses are talking about all things created. That includes things created that are in heaven, which are the original pattern for things in the earth. Does anybody understand that sentence? If you think you do, raise your hand. Okay, good. I'm going to read it again for you. These verses are talking about all things created. That includes things created that are in heaven, which are the original pattern for things in the earth. So what do you think? Somebody got a statement to make? All right, here's the deal. Yeah, Deb, go ahead.
I think that correlates with the scripture in Genesis that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He made that reality that's in him, and it has a place of manifestation.
Good. It's good you use the word manifestation. It's really good. Such an important word in all of this, because manifestation implies that there was something, particularly in the scriptures that we deal with in this study, that implies that there is something there, but it is hidden. It is there, but it is hidden. In this case, we're talking about things things in the earth being a manifestation of the original patterns. Notice the word pattern. Think Book of Hebrews. Okay. Okay, so I see that look on your face again. Okay, so here's God. And then we'll give him the big G, okay. And then here is things, and I'll just do it like this. Then this is things in heaven, okay. And then things in the earth. We're going to really get into this, so don't worry if you don't catch it. We're going to really sink our teeth into this area eventually. Then the things that are created in the earth are just a manifestation of something that was already there in heaven. For example, the tabernacle. The tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern you saw in the mount. Manifest it. And that's what God's wanting in so many ways and forms of this. He wants us to manifest something. It's not that he wants us to do the work or he wants us to catch on so that we can da-da-da-da. He just wants us to manifest it. And a manifestation would mean that we see it, though it is unseen. The original. Okay? And we're going to dig deep, so don't worry. And it's going to be fun, too. It's amazing stuff. Okay. All right. So let's go to John chapter 1. And as I said, we're going to discuss some of this stuff from the viewpoint of the Bible, the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, or doesn't understand it. Great verse, huh? Verses. We all know. We all, you know, pretty much have thought that we understand them. One of the main things that I'm experiencing in this study that we're in is that I don't know near what I was hoping I knew. I mean, he has shown me so much that I was just ignorant of, so I, you know. But I love him, and I want to know him. All right, so what is death? Somebody?
Separation.
Okay, that's a very timeline kind of thing, but it is in that sense, yes. Okay. What is death? It's the absence of life. It's the absence of life. What life? His life, of course. The absence of his life. But even in the earth, it's the absence of life. So, John says, in him was life. In him was life. Okay. So in the scriptures, in these few verses that I read, John 1, 3 through 5, what is the first thing mentioned? Yes, absolutely. All things were made in timeline reality. I mean, once he made a sun and a heaven and this and that and all that kind of stuff, everything's going to be played out in a timeline reality that's going to keep moving along that timeline. And he made sure that we all understood that, so that when you were born right here, that you don't even have to do anything. Time will keep marching on, and you will keep getting older. And one day you'll all die. Except me. No, not really. The truth is, we are dead in Christ. But we are also alive by Christ's life. Him as the life. So, so what was the first thing mentioned? All things made on a timeline reality. What is mentioned next? By him, all things are made. Okay? By him, he is, if, okay. So picture all things. All right? And then picture their disappearance. What are you going to have? Him. Him. He made all things. Okay? And so what's the conclusion then? The conclusion is he is before all things or all timeline things. Now that may sound elementary to you, but it's not. There is a life that is not restricted to timeline reality. So let's go ahead and go a little further then. What is superior, timeline reality or eternal reality? Okay. Well, eternal reality must be understood, folks, as him. I know that you want it to be a bunch of, you know, heaven, you know, and you're floating around on clouds and you got wings and stuff like that. But, you know, eternal reality is him. And we can live in that now. Okay. So, what is superior? Without him, there's no material world. Without him. That's it. Next thing. I put down. But where was the life? Was it in living things on the timeline? No. I'm sure you've heard a pastor or preacher somewhere say, you know, you down here in this world, this is not the way it should be. There's another reality. You can be with Jesus and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Well, that's true because he is the life that made all of that, and all of that can pass away. And in truth, will pass away. But in greater truth, needs to pass away in every one of our understanding. So that we understand where we live, or let's better say it better, so that we can understand who is the life. Or let's say it in another angle, we can understand where life is. And what life is. And it's in him at that eternal, which he says, that eternal life. Remember, he says stuff like that. That eternal life. And we make eternal life being, you know, again, a timeline thing. I'm going to live forever. So it's like right now, I was born. And then down here, I'm going to die, you know. And... you know, but I'm going to die and get eternal life. Well, you have eternal life right now if you're born again. And your physical body isn't going to change that. It's him all the way, baby. It is him. He is the life. And instead of wrestling about, you know, this is, I mean, there's so much of getting into this part here where we're all wrestling, trying to be better and trying to do good and trying to do the things that will get me into heaven and all this kind of stuff. When Jesus is the life and he's already come, and you've already received that if you've received Jesus. But where was the life? Was it in living things on the timeline? It in him. Notice, in him was the life. Listen to that for a second. In him was the life. It doesn't say by him was the life. I'm going to let you live forever. It's like you have corruption in you, you know, because of sin. And because of that, you're going to die. And you're just going to, you know. Well, folks, if you don't receive Jesus, you're still going to live forever. It's just depending on where you're going to live it. Ever think of it like that? Oh, I want eternal life. I want to live, you know. Do you? You want Jesus as your life. And he is your life. And that's what you accepted when you accepted Jesus. In him is the life. Not in his creation. Not in anything that he could create. If he could create eternal life as we understand it, which he is eternal life. If he could create eternal life as a thing, then it would keep on going, but it still wouldn't be him. It's not that we're after staying around longer or forever. I don't know if that's a good idea anyway. But anyway, that goes there's another deal behind that. Where was the true light contained? Okay, the true light. Now, we're not talking about life. The true light. Okay, let me just read that one again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Where was the true light obtained? Not by the maker son, but in him the eternal son. Where was the true light obtained? Was it by being in a church and you hear the good news that Jesus died for you and, you know, the light hits you and you say, I want to be saved. Or, I don't want to go to hell. It's kind of the main two choices people receive Jesus over. You know, I want to be saved. I want a halo. You know, or I don't want to go to hell. But you're not, regardless of what you think you're receiving, if you're receiving him, then he is the true light of men, and eventually you will understand what you have. I don't believe everybody really, you know, people believe on different levels. Everybody's different level. They know different things, right? There has to be a constant. That's Jesus, but not Jesus. That's the Son, the pristine Son, the eternal Son. All right. So my sentence was a little weird, but not by the maker son, meaning the creative son is giving me light, because that would be by. But it didn't say by him, it says in him. All right, so with that in mind, I'm going to go back through these Colossians scriptures. And we're going to read them in light of what I just said, okay? All right, so where am I? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. So it starts out with who, and that is talking about the Father. Who, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Okay, so the thing to notice is the word hath and delivered, past tense. Both of those are past tense. That's past tense. Okay, you say, well, it doesn't seem like it to me. Well, you're looking in the wrong place. There is a deceiver out there, and he'll deceive you to think, make you think that you're not, that you have not already been delivered. But you have. You have been. And imagine if you have been. You know, the picture I've always gotten when I get to this point is this small, very small jail cell. And there's this guy, you know, sitting in the jail cell. And he's been in there, you know, thrown in there. And he's been in there for a month. And then he's been in there for 6 months. And then he's been in there 2 years. And then he's been in there 7 years. And, you know, and then he's been a Christian for 20 years, and then he's been a Christian for, you know, and he's sitting in this prison cell, and he's waiting for God to give him the key. waiting for God to give him the key so that he can get out of bondage. And so one day Jesus walks by outside the door, and so it's like the door is right here, and he's sitting right here, and I better get over a little bit here. And so he's sitting there, and Jesus walks by the door and goes, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm waiting for you to give me the key." You know, he goes, "You don't need a key." He goes, "No, I do. I need a key. Give me the key. Why won't you give me the key?" And Jesus, one finger just flips the door, and it wasn't locked. It just swings open, and he's sitting there looking, you know, like, "You mean this thing has been unlocked the whole time I've been sitting here? And all my prayers for deliverance were..." Okay. Here's what we're going to have to do, and here's what we're going to do as a body. We're going to have to lift ourselves up, and it's not lifting ourselves, but we're going to have to be lifted out from a viewpoint of he's going to give us stuff, and we're going to find out and live in the reality that he has already done it, and it's already in him. And you are there. Okay? You all for that? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So let's a little more here. Hath delivered us, hath delivered, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay. So what does that mean? What does that mean in your mind? In nominal Christianity, see, because that's where this all gets all mixed up. When we start talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about, you know, woo, going up in the sky and landing, you know, in heaven, and, you know, everything's beautiful and everything's free and everything's, you know, peaceful, and, you know, all that, you know, way that we have a view of the kingdom of God, you know. But he says he hath translated us not into the kingdom of heaven, a location, into the kingdom of his dear son. Dear son, oh, that goes back, way back. That goes back to the pristine son. That goes to the son at any point in time. That's his dear son, and he put us in him before the foundation of the world. And the only thing that we're lacking is the light of in him. Amen. In him was the light of men.
Amen. That's it.
The only thing we're lacking, really, yeah, is the light of in him. That's, you know, it's not just him, like seeing Jesus sitting over there, you know, with his robes and stuff. He's going, "Oh yeah," and pointing to him. Stop pointing at him. He's not. That's not where he's at. You're inside of him. You're one with him. You were made. You've been translated, and into the kingdom of his dear son. You. That's hath and translated ed past tense. Am I right or wrong? He says, "What is your..." You know, but the other thing is that we have to understand that that happened before the foundation of the world. Now that I agree, I think there's another manifestation of that when Jesus came to the earth, but it's not the eternal version. It is a timeline version, isn't it? Because it happened on a timeline. Come on. You know, it's okay. So, and hath translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, that doesn't say by whom, does it? It doesn't say by whom. It says in whom. And that's what, you know, John 1, in him was life. But if it's in him, it's him. And if it's in him, it's eternal. And it's not earned. Because, you know, well, he did us a favor. He did that. He settled that. He put us in his son before the foundation of the world so that we couldn't come along and start trying to earn it. It's important to him that we don't. Okay. And we're going to have so many examples of this, but anyway, this is the initial thing here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so Lord, how can I have the forgiveness of sins when I hadn't committed all of my quota yet? Well, you know, the forgiveness of sins, well, the way the average Christian looks at it is, oops, I sinned again, and da-da-da-da, like, you know, your only hope is either to catch every sin that you sinned and remember it and then ask for forgiveness, because if you don't, you're going to hell. No, you're not. Anybody getting happy yet? In him is the forgiveness of sins. They're not, it's not on a big record. And if it was, it wouldn't matter anyway. It wouldn't. Yes, there are things to be ironed out for us to, and we'll get into them. But what I'm saying is the truth. All I'm going to give you throughout this rest of the time that we're on this subject is examples and scriptures that show it over and over, and in scriptures that you've read a different way, and examples that you never saw it. Okay? So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Whoa, we're getting manifestation out of that. Aren't we? Meditate on it, folks. Don't just read over and say, I don't understand that. Don't do that. Say, I don't understand that. Help me to understand it, Lord. Okay? I mean, we understand that he is like his dad or whatever, you know, and that he is, you know, eternal and everything else that we would put in it. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about manifestation. The firstborn of every creature. Okay. So just a few more verses, and then I'm going to have to go. For verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth. So now you're talking about, and look at the last part of that verse. It says, all things were created by him and for him. Okay, so the things that he's creating now are being done by him. But the things he did for you, he did in him. Okay? Because these verses are saying it, and Colossians is really big on it too, you know. All right, so maybe that's... and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So you got two things here. You got he is... And we're in the he is. We're in him. Okay? We're in him. And he is before all things. Okay? But by him, all the things are going to consist or hold together. Meaning the linear world in that sense. And the timeline stuff and all that stuff. What is that? I'll close with this. I'm going to sing you a song. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole wide world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He got you and me in Christ. In him alone, he got you and me in Christ. In him alone, that's where we are, folks. You look at this world and you go, well, there's tornadoes and there's fires and there's this and there's all that stuff. I'm telling you, you need to relax. it's not as bad unless we don't really, we have to have the light. We have to have the seeing. There's this thing called the seeing, and we have to have that. All right. Father, we just thank you for your movement by your Spirit. We thank you for the Word. Quicken the Word. Quicken us to the reality of your Son that is and was and is to come, that we would see that, not just that that's some attribute of Jesus, like he's some sort of superhero, that is us in him. We move, live and move and have our being. So Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the Son. Thank you for putting us in him before the foundation of the world. And thank you for faith. True faith, not religious faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.